Hello and welcome to the Mystic Cast, where you join Jack Stafford and Deborah Littleboy, members of the Aetherius Society, the cosmic religion for the Aquarian Age, as we break down the barriers between religion, science, metaphysics, philosophy, and mysticism, all of which are really only aspects of the selfsame quest for truth. Please note this is an independent program not produced or fact-checked by the Aetherius Society. Today, our guest is Robbie Holtz. Hello, Robbie.
Hi, nice to be here.
Great to be here and there. Where are you?
I am a little bit north of Seattle, Washington. I'm in the San Juan Islands off of Washington, right up by Vancouver, Canada.
Sounds beautiful. I bet that area.
Yeah. A lot of whale, a lot of cetaceans. It's awesome. Yeah.
You're looking out of a window, I can tell, at this very moment.
I am. There's sailboats, there's mountains, there's water. I'm really incredibly blessed.
We have a good view, too. You're very radiant.
Thank you.
We were just commenting on your radiance before.
Well, I think I have a lot of energy about me. So, it keeps me going.
And that slides in perfectly to what we want to talk about today, which is how we can be happy in these turbulent times.
I think that's a perfect topic for today because a lot of people are really challenged by it.
So let's dive in and try and talk about some of these blocks to healing. What can you tell us?
Well, I mean, I can tell you that I almost died twice when I was younger. And I, in my early 30s, wanted to survive. And so I had to find out, you know, the tough way, how am I going to make it? Because I had a young child. And it put me on this path of, you know, what does it take to live a vibrant, healthy life? And what I discovered is pretty much what the Aboriginals have been telling my husband and us about how it involves the body, mind, spirit. It's not just what you're feeding yourself physically, but also emotionally. And I think right now, more than ever, people are incredibly challenged emotionally. And that's where we get into problems. Because if you have a lot of negative emotions, it's either fear-based or love-based, one or the other. And if it's a fear-based emotion, it can become toxic to the body, especially if you continue to sustain that. And the most toxic emotions are, no surprise, self-hatred and guilt. And I was raised a Catholic, so I have guilt as my background default setting, right? I don't even know that it's operating, but it's there. And what can happen with these negative emotions is eventually you can block energy. It creates a different cell. It's dense, it's compact, and that inhibits not only the energy of the blockage and of energy, but also the nutrients and the oxygen.
Really?
And so, yeah, and that's why, and we hold certain emotions in certain places of the body. Grief, we tend to hold in our chest. And if you have a lot of grief and you're not releasing it, and you're not creating a more balanced with more love-based emotions, you will build up that, create a problem. And if you have, for instance, a genetic propensity towards heart disease or breast cancer, you can create dis-ease. And so the doctors may come in and take out the cancer, you know, the cancer cells in the chest, but it will continue to come back if you don't change the mindsets that have often created that in the first place. We tend to hold anger lingers in the liver. A lot of people know that. That's very prominent in the Chinese beliefs. Fretfulness is in the heart, and worry is held in the stomach, which is no, you know, cancer, ulcers. It's not a problem. A kidney harbors a lot of fright. So you want to become aware.
What about the prostate? Because I've been meaning to ask them, because my father has repeated prostate problems. What
quite often. Yeah, quite. And it's not as 100%, but it is quite often. It starts with the emotions. And that the prostate can be survival. You know, at the economics of how am I going to survive, that sort of thing. It can be sexual too, but it just depends on your body and what's going on. And you find out where your weakest link is. If you tend to have problems in your family genetically with prostate, then that could be your weakest link. And that's where you especially want to pay attention to the first chakra, right? What are the energies there in that area? And, you know, a lot of people who don't speak or they suppress things, the throat area. You pay attention to where do you typically have problems expressing. Yeah. Now, the flip side is, you know, when you have like love-based emotions, positive emotions, that creates a different kind of cell. And Dr. Emoto, I'm sure you've seen Dr. Emoto's water experiments, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas the negative base cells were very discombobulated cells. The love-based emotions create more like a snowflake, very symmetrical. They're a lighter, they hold more light, they hold a higher frequency. And the thing to remember is this planet is currently third dimensional frequency and vibration. So it's very easy to get pulled into third dimensional mindsets and emotions and thoughts. That's the depression, the anxiety, the stress, the fear. When you move into more love-based emotions, they're a higher frequency. Love is incredibly high frequency. Disease can't sustain in that high frequency. It's like a swampy breeding ground for disease versus this raging, teeming, flowing river that's vibrant. So when you have more love-based emotions, and the best emotions to have for healing are gratitude, fabulous all-purpose emotion, and it really is. And love, obviously love, but forgiveness. Oftentimes, and this is, I think, important for the listeners to hear, we tend to hold on to things. We have not forgiven something or someone, and that can create disease. And so forgiveness is a very healthy emotion that can create a vibrant, higher frequency, a different cell that is not versus a slacker cell versus a really high efficient cell. It creates a different cell. It creates a different flow where now you've got this vibrant flow of energy and nutrients and oxygen and blood and all that sort of thing. So what the Aboriginals have taught us is that you need to go and it's like a dandelion. You can't just pick the top of a dandelion and it's going to grow back again. That weed will grow back again. And so you need to get to the emotional core to the disease, the emotional core that started all this. Because when you're uncomfortable emotionally, it's like a dashboard on a car blinking. And if you keep doing that, then eventually that light stays lit and then you've got a problem. So you need to go back to find out what was it that started this initially to sustain healing, not just to, you know, temporarily, especially with a doctor, with surgeries or whatever, you want to sustain that healing.
And how does the Aboriginal teachings tell you to do that? What's the practical things you have to do to find out where the root is? Because most people wouldn't have a clue where to start to.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And that's the thing is we're so mindless about it. A lot of us do, and I was a champ at ignoring my body, which is why I almost died twice. Once wasn't good enough, right? I'm a little overachiever when it comes to just being, I mean, I've gotten much, much better about it and paying attention to what my body needs. But where you find out where your, I love that you asked that question, Deborah, is what triggers you into negativity? What triggers you into feeling this dis-ease, this uncomfortable, whether it's non-acceptance, it's expectations about people. That's a big one, especially now, expectations of how other people should be reacting. What pulls you down into these lower frequencies, these lower dimensional tendencies, you know, that stress that, because again, it's either love or it's fear-based. So it's fear-based on some level. So that's why you want to pay attention to what pulls me into that. And then once you have an awareness of what it is, because I used to do a lot of consultations with people and they're like, well, yeah, I know my mind is sabotaging me. I have no problem understanding that, but I don't know how to change it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is important to talk about today. And that what the Aboriginals have taught us is that, because the ones that we talked to were very advanced. I would say they're more fifth dimensional existence.
Could you give us a little story? I've read it on your website, but it'd be great to hear firsthand about how you ended up going into the outback.
Well, I mean, my husband was an award-winning physicist. I mean, he was on magazine covers. He was a very brilliant man, but he had also suppressed emotions about his father, who was very abusive. He was an alcoholic, abusive father. And so Gary had, with this brilliant mind of his, had numbed himself emotionally to the point where he physically numbed himself, where he had ended up with MS, multiple sclerosis. And he had he really had about 6 months left to live. His organs were starting to shut down. He'd been a quadriplegic for some time, a quadriplegic. And so he's in a wheelchair, still operating as a physicist. And when he got that diagnosis, he knew that he wasn't going to survive, and he had children he wanted to live for. So he found out that the Aboriginals, the remote Aboriginals in the outback of Australia, have amazing healing abilities. They already knew about him because they're so tapped in. They already knew he was coming to see them. So he went in there in his wheelchair, unloaded from the plane as cargo, really, and spent 10 days with him, and came back 10 days later with feeling in his body, which he hadn't had for 7 years, and clumsily able to walk on the airplane aisle on the way back. And he had been a quadriplegic for, oh gosh, I'm not really good with the numbers, but at least 10, 15 years.
It sounds like Stephen Hawking, but the happy ending.
Happy ending, exactly. Well, you know, and that we can talk about that too, about how, you know, when you're a more older, evolved soul, you get more challenging opportunities for growth. And this, when you have challenges, which is what planet Earth is. Yeah, planet Earth is a fabulous school that we come to, but it's not an easy school. But, you know, and that's what I think people need to understand. But let me just finish the Aboriginal story. So Gary went into the outback as this scientist, right? Very black and white. If you can't prove it, it doesn't exist. Came back 10 days later. Now he had feeling in his body, was able to clumsily walk. But the biggest change was emotionally, because he realized there's a lot of gray that can't be proven, but it still exists. And the Aboriginal people taught him, this small nation, tribe, how to remote view, how to see inside the body, how to use...
In 10 days.
Yeah, well, he developed it over time. But he started to see that. He started to see inside the body, so that when I met him a few years later, he was seeing inside the body like they do. He had the ability to telepathy. He could communicate. And the only people, interesting, the only people that really knew he was communicating on a telepathic manner were autistic patients. The autistic people could always communicate with him in that level. So I thought that was always interesting. So he came back and it changed his world. He ended up getting a doctorate in immunology and nutrition, and started practicing psychoneuroimmunology, how the mind affects the body. And he spent the rest of his life doing that. It was fascinating, because the Aboriginals asked us to take their healing methods out into the world, because they said Western medicine doesn't understand that it's a body, mind, spirit. All three need to be aligned. The body, the mind, and the spirit, the soul, need to be aligned. And if all three of those aligned, anything can be healed. Anything. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people are missing. What am I, you know, I'll get this. What am I doing wrong? I'm doing everything. I'm focusing, law of attraction, the whole deal. But if the soul isn't aligned with healing, it's not going to happen. Not mm-hmm. completely. Not sustained. So
you married your doctor. You were on the quest for healing, and he healed you, and then you...
Actually, I had healed myself by that point, by the time I met him. But what I discovered is what I was doing was what the Aboriginals had told us to do.
It's all linked up, eh?
Yeah. So when I delivered my son, it was a really rough labor. I think it was like 36 hours. He was in a bad position. And they gave me a blood transfusion when I was done, and it had hepatitis C in it. And the hepatitis C almost killed me. And then the experimental treatment almost killed me. And so I didn't think I would survive. And I was determined to live as long as I could, because I had a young child and I wanted him to remember me, to know me. And I wanted to parent. Any parent will know that story, right? You know, you will do what you can to survive just another day, another month, another year. And that was in my early 30s. I never thought I'd hit 35. And
This is too much to get into a one podcast. This is like... This is a movie, isn't it? I mean, am I in a movie?
I
thought it was in a podcast.
Yeah. Well, okay. So let me get back to the Aboriginals. All right. You want me to do that? Get back to how do we...
You want to go. I mean,
okay.
That's great.
Because I think we left them right where, okay, now we know what the problem is. It's the mind. How do we change it? Right? Okay. The changing is quite often when you realize why things are there that are triggering you. Why things are there. They're there as a teaching lesson. This is planet Earth is a third dimensional school, so to speak, changing into fourth, ultimately into fifth. I'm sure your listeners know that, right? And so fifth dimensional teachings are very different than fourth or third dimensional teachings. We come here because we're given a physical body and we're given emotions, and those show us where we're getting stuck, right? Because if the emotions are creating a problem, you're going to feel it physically. And that's usually when people come to us like, okay, I'm willing to make some changes now. How bad does it have to get physically before you're willing to make some changes?
Well, we manifest our bodies, don't we? I mean, we manifest.
Absolutely.
Just a quick plug for our book, the Nine Freedoms, which explains, we don't do the 3D, 4D, 5D thing, but it goes through bravery, love, and service. Those are the first three freedoms. Then enlightenment, cosmic consciousness, ascension, and then interplanetary existence.
Then
you go into another classroom, and Venus, Mars, which are other classrooms where you go to study other things, like you're saying.
Right. That's powerful, because this so you have to pay attention to what classroom am I in. Because life and the soul and everything else, the universe will continue to present those to you until you finally master it and come out on the other side with love, right? Through love, right? So some people, especially the older souls, if I can use that term, more evolved, higher consciousness, might tend to bring in, they might choose to learn in this particular lifetime, this classroom, self-love. So they might have a family that doesn't love them. They might be told that they're less than. They might have some kind of a disability or a malady that makes them feel that they are not good enough as they are. And that is there to show you how to love yourself more, so that you find the love from within rather than outside of you. And I think family is fabulous at helping us learn our lessons, because you can't really move beyond them. Sometimes they're constantly there. They might be there to teach you about non-judgment, about accepting what is. That they might be in a different class. I kind of liken it to, you might have already, we're all equal as souls, but you might have already passed that class. You might be at a university level where they're just at kindergarten, first grade. So we don't judge them. We don't wish them to hurry up and get beyond that. That's where we're at right now with planet worldwide, is we're like, why don't people wake up? Why don't they? But they need to go through what they need to go through.
Well, it's the physical realm, isn't it? It's this root chakra you're talking about before.
Absolutely.
You know, when we die, we go to another realm where we get to hang out with our own kind. And then, well, we're most comfortable, the realm of just desserts. And then we have to come back to the physical realm where we're all together, everyone. Maybe in different parts of the city, but
right,
all mixed up into one big family.
Yeah. So what the Aboriginals have taught us is that, you know, what they have a different philosophy than we do. They understand experiences come to you, experience it. Don't be afraid of emotions, feel it, and then move on. What's next? Whereas we tend to hang on and hang on, and some people for years can hang on to these experiences where they don't. And actually, the nature kingdom does this as well. They, you know, I have a friend who's a researcher, and she researches crows who stay together for a lifetime. How do they do that? They have a squabble because they mate forever. They have a squabble and then they move on. They let it go. You know, children do that too. Same thing. So you have to pay attention to, what is my mind hanging on to? Why? How is it here to help me grow and evolve?
Are the Aboriginals older souls, would you say, or?
Yes, more highly evolved. Yes.
More highly evolved.
But yeah, they've gone through these lessons already, and they're showing us how to do that.
But does that make sense? Because maybe Deborah helped me out, because, you know, we're here. We go on in the other classrooms and the other planets. We go through, you know, Mars, Venus. We build spaceships. We, you know, intergalactic travel. We do, you know, you come into this classroom to gain, the lesson is gain control over material.
Yes.
And so you have to learn how to build a car. You have to learn how to advance mathematics. You have to all these things. I mean, what do you think, Deborah? You bring you in on this.
Well, I'm just going to do the cop out here, is because I don't know.
I knew she would.
But I go back to what Robbie was saying, is that we're all here to learn different things. So maybe the Aboriginal souls are now learned. They're here because they've done what they needed to do. Maybe they were a scientist two lives ago. Maybe they were a magician for, you know. But what they've come to learn now is that they've gone through, and they're now shown that the only thing that really matters is how to keep well and align themselves with the higher vibrations. I don't know these things, but that would be what I would say to you. Maybe they already have done the maths thing, and they don't need to do the maths thing this time. That would be what I would say, because it's not hierarchical in the way it's a mesh. It's a mesh, so everybody gets what they need to ultimately not be here anymore, and move on to the next plane. But now I've got the floor. You should never give me the floor, Robbie. But anyway, now you've given me the floor.
No, I think it's beautiful. I think you're right on.
What you were saying, and I heard, was that it's the gift of desperation that somebody needs to get to be able to let go of all this stuff that they've been holding on to for so long. And I know that from Alcoholics Anonymous, where people, alcoholics, will hold on to the drinking to see how long almost they can, to defy, I can still keep going, you know, even though my liver's gone, this has gone, that's gone, can't see out of that eye, but I'm not going to stop drinking because, you know, this really no thing. But you get to a stage where they realize that, or some realize that they cannot continue in the body unless they do something, and then they get a change of it's a gift of desperation, is what I've learned from AA rooms, and it's very, very powerful. The other thing that you brought up, we had a guest on a couple of months ago called Patty Kotling, and she could scan your body, and she could see where you were holding energies, and that was, she called it color healing. So she would bring it to actually bring people back into balance and work with people and what have you. She told me, because this is now the Deborah Show, she told me that I was holding a disease in my left kidney, and it come back from when I was 3 years old. So I went back into my timeline of 3 years old, and I knew exactly what she was talking about. I was held as a shield between my mum and dad, because mum was trying to keep the marriage together and dad was having an affair. And I was a three-year-old, was used as the shield. And I knew all of that. That wasn't anything new. But to then be told that I was holding it in my left kidney, and you've now said that that's fear, and I can now totally relate to that. But when I was given that little bit of enlightenment, I felt, and I cleared, I could clear it, concentrated on it, and I felt it going. Didn't know what it was, but I felt it going. So from a personal thing, this emotional, I'll hold it there for a rainy day, let's have some more of that because it all clings together, is so right. And I also know that from our teachings, the more we can align with spirit, with soul, the more that we can make this physical body, this robot body, a good receiver of the energies and a transmitter of the energies through our chakras, the more that we can raise the vibrations of not only ourselves, but everybody around us in the planet. And the planet is now raising the vibration. And so we need to do that. So I love this job that Jack's brought me in, because what we're doing is that we're finding out completely different disciplines. People get to that same point, and we're all saying the same thing, using different words, different techniques, but our hearts are right. because our soul is this, you know, and our spirit is the same. It's the oneness. And just hearing you and the enthusiasm you have just brings all those connections in. And I know that I've expanded speaking to you because we're actually building that connection of light.
I'm so glad that you were, shared with us about when you were three and that you could feel that releasing and then that changed things. And that was what happened with Gary when he was in the Outback. He had this, because it was his father used to beat him. And so they helped him understand if you can release that, your body is holding on to that and it is just crumbling under the weight of those heavy emotions. If you can release that and forgive him and realize how he did teach you in some ways, it may not have been the way you wanted to learn it, but he did teach you about a number of things here. And if you can forgive him and let go of it, then your body can finally feel that relief. And that is when he started to get well. That is when he started to, it was a short time, but it was when he started to get feeling in his body again and able to clumsily walk. So I think that what we're here to do is to learn on this beautiful planet, mastery of the emotions and thoughts. And it's fine if you choose to hold on to the, like you said, in AA, people will hold on to that. That's just where they are. They're not ready yet. It's going to be, how bad does it have to get before you're there? And that's okay because it's all done with love. So this is an opportunity to get mastery over those thoughts and emotions and recognize that what it starts with, originates with, is mindsets, perspectives, cultural beliefs especially expectations about what a father should do, what a married mom and dad should do, what society should do, expectations rather than non-judgment and patience and compassion. And the body is here to, coupled with the emotions, to show you where you're getting stuck. And this is why where you're getting stuck will keep coming to you until you finally master it. Here's a perfect example. I lost a dear loved one to smoking, and I got really upset with the tobacco companies who were producing this addictive, often deadly, toxic product. And I got really upset with smokers, and some of my family members were still continuing to smoke. And I thought, I'm going to lose you guys too. And it really upset me, and I got really angry about it. I kept finding myself surrounded by smokers, couldn't seem to get away from them, right? And so when I finally realized, okay, it's just they're learning or not, one way or the other, they're going to learn what happens when you nurture and respect and honor the body and what happens when you don't and you take in this toxic substance, it's not my journey, that's their journey. My journey is to find compassion and non-judgment. When I finally reached that point, the smokers went away. I didn't need that in my class. I had passed that class, right? And that's what the Aboriginals are telling us, is that experience it, don't suppress it, let it come up, but then let it go and pay attention to what am I immersing in? Am I hanging out in negative emotions a lot or fear-based versus love-based emotions? Because one's going to create a healthy body and the other is not.
So here's a question I'm sure the listeners are asking is, well, Deborah was very lucky. She got a diagnosis from an expert came on and said, you know, kidney, 3 years old, magic. But what about somebody who's not that fortunate? What can they do?
Well, you can pay attention. Well, the body's going to tell you quite often where you're having problems. You know, if you have a lot of heart problems, if you have a lot of stomach problems, and it's not something that is physically, it's not always 100% that it's emotions, but quite often it is. So if you have a problem in that area, you might start paying attention to, okay, what am I grieving, right? If I have heart issues, what am I grieving? What have I not let go of? And also, what tends to pull you into negative, unhealthy emotions? You know, is it fear about finances? Is it fear about career? Is it fear about...
Here's a good one. It's like an old emotion, then, you know, you have to...
Yeah.
How do you, you know, this pain?
That's where you start realizing, okay, here's what's happened. Here's what the Aboriginals tell us. We used to be telepathic. We used to have the ability to connect to nature,
right,
and all
Lemuria,
that.
Civilization. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. When we stopped connecting and started speaking out loud, that's very chaotic. That's old stuff, right?
Podcasts when you, are unnecessary.
Yeah. When you start tapping into what is my body telling me? What am I, where's this disease, dis-ease? What's going on here? And start tuning back into that inner guidance, it will tell you. It'll tell you what you need to let go of. It'll tell you how to move beyond it. It'll tell you how to release it through laughter, dance, humor, whatever. But start feeding yourself more of that and start listening to what does my body need? What emotions are not helping me right now? Mm. What emotions do I need to get a break from and let go of? That's a start. That's a good start.
All right.
Yeah. Gratitude. Remember that? Gratitude.
I've got it here. Gratitude, love, and forgiveness.
Yeah.
My new affirmation.
Those create a healthier, vibrant body.
That's your fix all. That's your basic toolkit. That's your, it's your paracetamol of emotions.
Yeah. So that's also what we're told in the Nine Freedoms by Cosmic Master Mars 66, because he says that that fear can be overcome if you look at it coldly, so without the emotion.
Yes,
look at it without, you take the, you accept that that's all like bubbling up, and you're not thinking straight, so you look at it coldly, because it has been created by repetitive thoughts. The same thoughts then generate the same feelings, which then bend you out of shape, and you get a, well, like me, 3 new hips. Thanks very much. Don't that be greedy. So the fact is that you've got this whole thing going on. But if you actually look at it in the cold light of day, and you know that you've created it, you can then overcome it. And it's not a magic that's done, but it almost is, because once you've got that switch, you know what the way that you were thinking is making you unwell. Change the way you're thinking, which is where, Robbie, I'm hearing the gratitude and the laughter and the giving and as we do, the bring the energy in, send the energy out. You get the energy back in, and you just carry on. It's cleaning you up, because you're doing the right stuff with the right motive. And that's what we've been taught. You have to first of all see where your thinking's gone wonky, because you don't know it's wonky thinking until you actually start to analyze it. Somebody else could tell you you've got wonky thinking, but you're not going to be listening to them, because what do they know? Yep. For goodness sake.
Right. Well, like my Catholic guilt running in the background. It's just there, and I don't even know. I'm not even aware of it. But anybody else could look at you and say, "Whoa, that's a challenge." Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you start becoming. I mean, it's one thing to try to take down thoughts one at a time, but that's like trying to take a tree down one leaf at a time. You want to find out what's the mindset behind that that's creating those type of thoughts, and quite often it's that we have expectations about how people should live, how people should act, how society should live and act, realizing it starts with me and what I'm doing, and am I living with compassion and empathy and non-judgment? Because otherwise, that's where you're going to create those problems, like with the smokers. I will be surrounded by smokers until the end of my time if I continued to feel that trigger. Right. So you start paying attention to, okay, what's pulling me into? I was challenged by people who drive crazy too fast, right, on the highways. And I would just get angry at them. And then I realized, oh, they're just looking for love or looking for attention, whatever. And that's their way of expressing it. I can move over, get out of the lane. I kind of call our, I don't know here, but here in the States, we have a fast lane. I kind of look at it sometimes that is a young soul lane, right? There. And so once I had that thinking, it created more compassion, more empathy, greater understanding, a greater awareness, a higher consciousness. Then I stopped having those thoughts that were negative and not loving. So that's where you want to realize what's behind that. And maybe you came in this lifetime to learn about that, like the self-love. And so you may get people continuing to, you know, not love you the way you want to, because you need to learn to love yourself first. So it's about, okay, why is it here on my path? Why does it keep showing up? How is it here to help me grow and evolve?
It's a great way to look at things. It also takes a lot of the pressure off. Like if you're struggling in the moment, you can't have children, for example, you know, maybe that's the soul. That's this time, the lesson for the soul. You know, I wasn't supposed, or I'm on my own, or, you know, one of your books. So we've talked about your book, Secrets of Aboriginal Healing. People can get that from your website, or there's another one, Angels in Waiting. How to reach out to your guardian angels and spirit guides. How do you do that?
Well, that's a big game changer. I mean, you have cosmic masters, right, that you work with that assist you?
Well, that's a big, how can I answer that?
Oh, okay.
Dr. King was a master, and he was able to contact them, and we are continuing.
Okay. Well, then let's bring it down to the average person, all right? And the average person, every single person, whether you believe in them or not, and this is what Gary also learned when he was in the Outback, the average person, every single person has at least one guardian angel with them. And it doesn't matter the culture. The angels have been around forever, and it's always in the belief systems of some, in some respect, religions or whatever. But every person has at least one guardian angel there to assist them and guide them. But because this is a free will planet, they will not just step in. They need to be invited. They need to be given permission.
What do you mean by a free will planet? That's something we have in our teachings as well.
Oh, yeah, this is big. A free will planet, we come here because we have free will. You get to decide whether you're going to learn this or not, whether you're going to learn it the hard way or the easy way, whether you're going to learn it in one lifetime or not. It's free will. It's the mind, right? This is mastery of the mind. And there's all the patience under the sun, but you'll get there eventually. But it's up to you how and when you do it. And they can amp it up. But you have a lot of help from the other side of the veil to assist you with this. You're not doing this alone. Every person has a guardian angel there to help them, to ensure that you are not harmed or killed or injured if it's not what your soul intends in that particular instance. But they are also available to each person. And they're the easiest to communicate to. That is bent by design. Every person has them. And I've written a book called Vibrant Living, and it's a 60-day guidebook that teaches you how to start communicating with them. They guide you through your intuition. And people ask me, how can I tell whether it's my mind or it's their guidance? The mind is fear-based. The guidance from them is love-based. Okay. And so they will guide you. Not only will they guide you, but they will also assist you. So if you ask, they can assist you. Thank you for helping me let go of this. Thank you for helping me move beyond this. And they've told me that it's like operating at 5 amps of power on your own versus 5,000 amps of power with their help. It's huge. It's a huge game changer. That changes everything. And that helps you let go of this stuff. It helps you move on. It helps you heal physically and emotionally. It helps you come to these aha moments. So they won't, and everybody's clairsentient. You feel with your body. Some people get, you know, you get goosebumps. You just get that feeling in the pit of your stomach. That's how they communicate to you. Some people, I have some of these abilities that I've developed over time that I didn't know I had. I can hear clairaudient, I can see clairvoyant, but not everyone has that. And so don't expect just because you communicate to them that you're going to start seeing them or hearing voices. That's not usually the way you're designed to feel. You feel with the body. It comes back to that feeling with the body again. I mean, I can go into more, but it will make a huge difference they are designed to be here to assist us. We were never designed to be doing this alone. We were designed to have assistance. And you can have spirit guides who come in and out, depending on what you're doing. You can have loved ones, you know, who have passed over, who come in and out. But the guardian angel is with you 24/7, never leaves your side in this lifetime. and they're there to assist you, to guide you. But the one thing that they, the reason they asked me to write two books about it, Angels in Waiting is one of them. The 60-day guidebook, Vibrant Living, is another one. They asked me to write this because they're like, please tell people to ask us to help them more. We can't help them if they don't invite us to assist. All you have to do is ask in your mind once. That's it. You don't need to complicate it. The mind tends to complicate it. Keep it simple. So right now, especially with what's happening on the planet, we need a lot more assistance than we normally would. And we have more assistance than we've ever had before. Invite them and don't worry about, you know, people like, well, how do I know I'm not going to get some bad negative energy? If you're not engaging in that, you're not going to get that. That's what the guardian angels are to help you with. So build that relationship with the guardian angel. That's what the Vibrant Living book was about, because they're the easiest to communicate with. They're designed to be easy for you to communicate with. You can go beyond that if you want to, but you don't need to. But yeah, huge change.
Is this your higher self or a being that's passed on, or how everyone has one? I mean,
that's a great question, Jack. It's not your higher self. That's available to you as well. This is an angel, an angelic being.
Is it a diva or?
No, divas are a little different. Divas are like you might have divas over the trees, divas over the plants. This is an angelic being that there are lots of, you know, we tend to, you know, have hierarchies as humans and categorize things because it helps them understand them. Guardians are a little different in that they have abilities that other angels don't. They have permission to step in and assist because they're there to guide you and protect you. And so they're there 24/7, whereas you might have other angels come in. Like archangels, like Raphael is fabulous archangel for healing. If your guardian angel needs more assistance, they will get more assistance. If I'm speaking, I know I have a different team. When I did consultations, I just did them remotely with people. I could feel a whole different team coming in, including my deceased husband, Gary, was part of that team. He's still part of that team. And the team would differ depending on who I was working with, who I was assisting. I don't do those anymore, but oh my gosh, you could just, sometimes it was so powerful. I'm just trying to stay in my chair, right? I feel like I need to be duct taped in because it's so strong. So, you know, it just, but each guardian angel is there. They have not had, the guardian angels have not had a lifetime on this planet as a human. They don't need to. They can certainly take on the form of a body, but they don't need this experience. They're beyond this school, so to speak. Mm. However, spirit guides have had those experiences. They have experienced lifetimes. So that's why they might be very helpful. You know, if you have an autistic child or you're doing certain occupation, you might have spirit guides who are coming in and helping with those particular things.
And there are like 6 billion of them. I mean, there's one for every person, or it's...
Oh, more than one. Sometimes people have a couple, and it doesn't matter. And they're androgynous, etheric beings. It's not that you need more help, and that's why you have two. That's what people automatically think is, wow, I must be quite the case. I've got to have two of them.
No, backward case.
I need a lot of help.
With our teachings, then, or how does this fit in? How does this tie in with the theory of society teachings in your experience of studying?
Well, when Robbie was speaking about the guardian angel, I actually went immediately to, well, that's Big Deb, my higher self, right? So I've got a big relationship with Big Deb. She knows a lot
Big
more.
Big Deb's
than
a
me.
Lot better. She helps.
Yeah,
she's a lot more organized.
Don't listen to little Deb down here. She's like one big muddled mess. Right, if I'm tuned into Big Deb, we get some really good stuff through. No,
makes a big difference.
So now,
the show.
I love that.
I'm wondering because I connect through the channels of the Aetherius Society to bring in the better energies and then to inspire me, and that's what I ask for. I ask all the time. I'm like, not repetitively, give me, but allow me to become more clear so that I can bring in better energy so that I can help. I ask. Between whenever I think about it, getting a theory of spread, I do it because I know that she, Big Deb, will then go drop it in. Now, the reason I thought it was me is that I, for the longest time, said, don't want, if anybody's not up to the caliber Oh, Big Deb, don't you be bothering me, Little Deb. Not interested in that. You can go. Big Deb says it's okay. Well, then you can drop it through her to me. So it always feels like me, but me, like really smart me.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, really smart me. But now I'm wondering, because I put that proviso in place, you go via Big Deb, otherwise I am not interested in it. It might be my guardian angel, but it's having to pour itself through Big Deb.
Can I tell you that it is?
So I don't. So how does that fit into the teaching, Jack?
So,
well, yeah.
Well, but I'm getting so clearly it is your guardian angel called Big Deb. And I love that. And it doesn't matter whether you think of it as a higher self or oversoul or whatever. It's there assisting you. They don't care. And that, and I don't know if you could tell, but at one point I was so close to tears because I was feeling the love that this angel has for you. It was so strong. I was holding back the tears. And that's the thing we need to remember is they have love for us beyond our comprehension as humans. So much love for us, so much patience. They don't get impatient with us. They don't judge us. But so that's such a beautiful thing is that Big Deb is there. It's your guardian angel. Okay. But let me just say this, because I love that you use Big Deb a lot. That's awesome. That's smart. Every time we allow them to help us, it allows them to grow because they're serving us out of love. So when we allow them to assist us, it allows them to grow because they're serving out of love. So as you grow, it allows them to grow. Use them often, all the time, big, small, vague, specific. It doesn't matter. Just ask them and ask them for what you want, not what you don't want. You don't say, well, thank you for help.
When we pass on, do we keep the angel keeps helping us when we go to other realms?
Or you get a different one. You get a different one depending on what you're here to learn, and because you're different every time you come, right?
Right, you're born at a different time, different stage.
Right, you come with some of the same aspects, but you're here to learn something different. You don't outgrow your guardian angel in this lifetime, but you may get others that come and assist, but you get a different one each time. You may have certain spirit guides that come again too, you know. But it's not unusual for even loved ones to come in and assist now and then, certainly to be there at Christmas time, right? And at birthdays and the weddings, they're there. Gary, when he came back from the Outback, he was able to see this. He was able to communicate with them and see them. That's what opened up this physicist, this black and white scientist into, oh my gosh, there's so much there. I had no idea.
We've got on that same thing, our workbook, which is this guy here, it's called Realize Your Inner Potential Through the Path of Spiritual Service. Now, I always saw that that inner potential was my higher self, the person, the entity that I am going back to oneness with. So if you like, but I don't see how my guardian angel, i.e. Big Deb, is my inner potential. How I've got a chasm between that in my mind.
Yeah.
Have you any insights as to...
Yeah. So, you know, and again, it doesn't matter what your belief system is. And there are so many different belief systems on the planet and all through time. But the guardian angel that I'm referring to is an assistant there to help you. Okay. It's not part of your higher self or oversoul. It's an angelic being, different, and they're androgynous, right? Some have more feminine energy or more masculine energy, whatever. But it's an assistant to help you become, because their intention is to help humanity, especially now, raise up into higher frequencies and vibrations of love. So they're here to help us with that. So engaging, remember I talked about 5 amps of power on your own versus 5,000, bringing in their assistance will help you get there faster. It helps you release all this. I know if I hand it over to them and say, thank you for guiding me through this in the best way, loving possible way, I just find in the morning, it's just like it doesn't bother me anymore. It's just gone quite often. Now my mind can keep pulling it back, but they help me let it go. And they help me see things. They're the ones that gave me this aha moment about, oh, that person that's just driving by you so fast in the car, they're just looking for love. They're just looking for tension, anything. And that's when I just, and then they not only gave me the insight, but they downloaded the energy of compassion and empathy into me as well. They can download energies into you. They can release things. They can heal the body. They can, but they cannot heal the body until you're ready to let go of the original. Because they cannot do what the soul does not, your soul, your higher self does not want them to do. They have to have permission. So if your soul is like, well, you haven't really learned that lesson, then they're not allowed to step in and heal it yet. But they can help you gain the insight, and then they help can help you heal it. You see, huge.
That fits so well with the law of karma, as we've been told that Dr. King said that any condition could be healed, but not any person. Any condition, but not every person. And it was to do with the karmic, with the karmic lessons that we've come in.
Yes.
And so we have to work through this. And it might take 3-4 lifetimes because well, we don't know, do we? We've been at this so many times. But the fact is, every single condition can be healed, but not every person every time. Because
yes. Yes.
And that's what I'm hearing from what you're saying.
Right. It you have to have an alignment of the body, the mind, and the soul and the spirit. And if all of those are aligned, anything can be healed. Sometimes, quite often with people, the mind is not aligned. Mm. You can also get to a point where now the body is just not aligned. It's just too far, right? Sometimes, like what you were just saying, Deborah, the soul, the spirit is not aligned with healing because it's here to teach you. It's here for, and like with Gary with EMS, like you were talking about desperation, sometimes we need these challenges, these adversities to help us as an older soul gain more mastery. This is not kindergarten. This is not first elementary grade. This is more advanced. It doesn't mean that you're going to have a tough, tough life, but it means that you might have more challenges because it'll help you learn more. Right?
Are you still in touch with Gary then on a daily basis?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Are you still in touch with Gary on a daily basis? Or are you?
Pretty much. Although I have confined him to my office.
So what does he say life is like on the other realms?
Oh my gosh, it's blissful. It's blissful. I kept getting messages. You know, honestly, after he passed, I did not know that I had these abilities until he passed, and he would show up every morning at 8 o'clock.
You
very
see him
punctual man. I saw this certain energetic pattern. It's in the book, the Secrets of Awakening book. He would show up at 8 o'clock, very punctual man, and married a woman who was not. And so it was a joke that he would always show up at 8 o'clock, except one year he was off when we had the time change in the spring. But that's when I started to like, oh, I can see him. I can see that he's there. It's a certain pattern that he would develop. And then I started to be able to communicate with him. I did his wedding ring on a pendulum and started, do you love me? And the thing would start going crazy until I started developing. And this is the thing I want people to know. You start developing. It's like a muscle, that intuition. It's that muscle. You develop it and you develop it and you develop it. And over time, now I can, I mean, he'll pop songs on, right? He'll pop that lyrics pop in my head. It's him. I know it's him. And it's a joke. And he's so funny how he still has a sense of humor. But when he first passed over, I kept getting people who would connect to me. They send me emails. They'd send me, they're like this. And they'd always start out with, this is going to sound crazy, but there's this guy who keeps showing up and he wants you to know he's just dancing around having a ball. And I'm like, no, it's not crazy. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Did he ever mention what realm he'd gone to? Have you ever had that information?
I understand it to be, well, I would call it the fifth. I don't know what you call it.
We've got the fifth realm.
It's a realm of consciousness.
Yeah. So. And that's another thing they wanted me to pass on to people is you're not bothering your loved ones who have passed over by communicating to them and talking to them. It's not like you're keeping them from anything. They can be in multi places at the same time. So it's fine. It's just that it's a little harder for your loved one to communicate to you than your guardian angel.
I think that depends on which level they're at.
That's true.
I mean, maybe if he's on the fifth level, he can do that. But lower levels, you can disturb them. You can.
That's true. Really, that's a good point.
Retard their development.
Right. Depending on where they are. If they've, yeah, there's a lot
the people
of
people you're
why.
Chatting to, fine. Fifth level guys. You know. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
People I would chat to.
I wouldn't say that, Jack.
Oh, dear.
Hey, well, this has been a ball. I mean, we could. We could
go on for days. I know. Yeah. It's interesting. Well, you guys have a lot of interesting input, too. And I love the personal stories. That makes a difference, you know, that you were willing to share, Deborah. Thank you about that three-year-old.
I'm not getting a message from Gary, but I'm sure he's very happy. The work you're doing is still.
He's delighted to assist. Yeah.
Yeah. And the work you're doing
is. If he's in the fifth dimension, which is the same as we understand the fifth dimension, then the Aetherius Society is very active there. From the fourth dimension up, very active. So you might have said, look, check out these guys we were speaking to on the fifth. And then when I'm doing my prayers to the Aetherius Society, I've got to be then emailing you, hey, guess what? It's got through. You're never going to be involved.
I know. Right. There's this guy named Gary, right? That just, yeah. He's dancing around. I know.
And he says, where's my wedding ring? Oh, it's on.
Oh, yeah. Thank God she moved beyond that.
So where can people find out more about you, read your books?
I have a lot of blogs with a lot of information, and especially about communicating with the guides and healing and all that sort of thing. And day and nowadays, how to find peace no matter what's going on. It's at holzwellness.com, H-O-L-Z as in zebra, wellness.com. So I don't do consultations anymore, but the books are there. There's an online healing course. And there's an awful lot of free information, because it's my passion to pass this information on, which is why the Aboriginals were so generous to gift this information, is to get it out there. And so my passion is get it and spread the word. And thank you, Jack and Deborah, for the work that you're doing. Very powerful.
Our
very needed.
It's been great to connect.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love hearing about Big Deborah. That's just awesome. Honestly, I could hardly hold back the love, the tears from the love. It was so strong. They just love us all so much. And Big Derper was really sending it big time. So,
is it not a boring job for them? I mean, I can not imagine a more boring thing to watch.
That's
Deborah
a third dimensional. Yeah, that's an earth
tendency.
They're not bored. They're not bored. They're not impatient. No, okay. They don't. That's a mind thing. We get to experience that because we don't necessarily get to experience it in other realms like jealousy and things like that. These are opportunities to experience that. These emotions here that are not really pronounced and available on the other side of the veil. So boredom, I don't think boredom is part of their language.
What is the thing you
they would say, isn't that cute? That Jack is just adorable. Yeah. Boredom.
Yeah. Shows you where I'm at. Hey, all right. Well, if people want to learn more about the Aetherius Society, they can go to aetherius.org. Thanks again, Laura. Robbie, sorry.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Nice to meet both of you. Thank you.
Bye, Robbie. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.